Underpants.
Well played, sir. Well played. Did he get you, Chuck?
No. No.
Well, Ben, you'll just have to try harder. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, the show where we are apparently not getting Chuck to stumble through his introduction. And for those of you that are like, I have no clue what you're talking about, that tells me you are not watching Mac Voices Live, and you are missing out. So you should check out Chuck's show too. As long as we're talking about shows you're missing out on, how could you possibly be missing out on In Touch with iOS? Because I mean, seriously, Chuck and Dave, they do such great shows. Also, Dave is so generous because he lets us crib from his In Touch with iOS show notes. He records on Thursday evening, US time. And here we are recording the Mac show on the British Tech Network on Friday morning, US time. And I would do the time zone math and tell you when it is for the UK people. But look at your screen right now. Welcome to the American Tech Network.
Yes,
Hi.
subtract six
Six in the
Or
UK.
seven or five, or it depends on what day it is, right? And what phase of the moon we have.
Yeah,
That's right.
it's
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of phases of the moon, I cannot explain that transition at all, but whatever. Ben, how are you doing?
fantastic, especially since even though we have Dave's lovely notes, we have breaking news.
We do. And I will let you tell us about that, but not yet, because
Yes,
I need to figure out who else is here. Oh, hey, it's Chuck. Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thank you for the kind words during the opening. And hey, it's great to see everybody as always.
Yep. Also known as the infamous DJ Cranky J.
Don't start that.
Is it true that you don't rap, but you shred?
If I had the preference, I'd always rather shred.
That's what I figured. Yep. And Dave, I'm sorry, I don't have a clever transition to get over to you. But sorry. But hey, everyone, it's Dave. Dave, how
How
are
you
you?
doing? Glad to be here. It's Friday. It's actually a really nice day here. It's sunny. I was able to get the show published last night, and so as we're recording this, it's already out, so you can listen
Awesome.
to it, to the joy of it. There's more breaking news too. I saw in the feed too, so maybe I'll bring that up too.
Ooh.
Okay, well, then
It's
we're
not nothing Apple crazy, but it's
well, we'll
I can give a
start.
story.
Sounds
Yeah.
great. Okay, so typically all our stories come straight from Dave's show notes, unless there's breaking news. So, oh, by the way, we're having a technical problem, which is not related to the live stream in any way, but the technical problem means we can't actually do a live stream today because you wouldn't be able to hear anything. And that means the technical problem is actually on my end, but it's Zoom's fault. So what you're seeing is the recording. There was no actual live stream for today's show. Sorry about that. Once we figure out how to work around the Zoom problem, then there you go. We will we'll... What it means is when Patrice is back next week, it'll be fine, and then we have time to figure out why this problem has happened.
Yeah. See, the
Also,
thing is, Patrice is a genius.
she
We're
is
idiots.
also true. Yes. Okay, so this impacts our live chat only in that you won't have immediate access to the content of that, because we're going to have to add it manually after the fact. So it will be there. You will have access to all the links, just not at the same time that the show gets posted. It might be a day or two afterwards, but they'll be there. Okay. So with all of that out of the way, do 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 Our man in the field, Ben Rathig, fill us in on what's going on.
The good news is Apple is doing Formula One. I can't even say the name of it. Formula One. I know we're not talking about the Brad Pitt movie, though that will be on Apple TV, formerly Plus, very soon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apple has signed a 5-year deal. Yeah, that many. For the US streaming rights to Formula One.
It's awesome.
Yeah. There will be some free content. There'll be like free practices, a couple free Grand Prix. Other Grand Prix will be get down, kitty. Will be specifically on Apple TV, formerly Plus. And lastly, the whole F1 TV premium subscription will not be a premium subscription. It will just be included with your Apple TV subscription.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, granted, Formula One is a far, far bigger deal in the UK than it is in the US. But it is a very much growing part of motorsports in the US, especially al among people in the younger audiences
I would, okay, go ahead.
who are more likely to stream rather than watch ABC, NBC, Fox, etc.
I would say I was never a big, huge Formula One fan, but when we saw the movie, us all being Apple fanboys here, of course we're watching it because it's an Apple produced movie, and that really got me excited, and I really enjoyed the movie and a lot of things I didn't even know about F1, but now this is just an amazing partnership F1 has done because it's really going to get their name out there. You got all these Grand Prix and all these things that go on. They've been still doing the races in Chicago and in Las Vegas
Miami.
and Miami. So, I mean, they're already big as it is, but this is just going to just enhance it even more. I mean, and just really shows where the Apple TV platform is going and why we talked about that. We'll probably talk about the dropping the plus because it doesn't matter. It's Apple TV. Period. And that now that this, because we talked about that last night, and now that this is here, Apple TV is here to stay, really.
This is by far the biggest get Apple has ever gotten when it comes to sports streaming rights.
And who cares about the MLB? They're going to walk away from MLB after this year, or they already did. This year's just playoffs, but that they don't even care about that. They got this. They scored this in MLS, and they're really hitting sports hard.
Now, which one's MLS? I remember now
Major League
MLB is
Soccer.
baseball. Soccer. Okay.
And there will be three Grand Prix in the US next year, May 1st through 3rd in Miami. Then October 23rd through 25th at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. And lastly, November 19th through 21st in Vegas.
I think Chicago kind of moved away. That there was it. That was such a tough way to set up that race. I tell you, I'm not surprised that's not listed.
You know, I feel like this is a win for everybody. It's a win for Apple TV for the reasons already stated. It's also a win for the racing organizations of the UK, in Europe, because it gives them a decent way to crack the US market. And I'm sure that Apple probably got a better, everybody got a better deal because it was Apple TV. And notice I didn't say plus either. I'm training myself. I don't know if, if the US networks could have made the same demands or made the same offers. And, as a streamer, I mean, this isn't, it means that Apple can give them kind of whatever they want, as far as being able to to promote the races or promote additional materials around it. So now that's all part of the negotiations, I'm sure. And but I guess I'm looking at it from both sides and like, this is perfect. This is perfect content for content.
Yeah.
To bring a market segment to Apple TV. It's a perfect way for, as Ben said, you know, a very popular European sport to be available in the US. And Dave made the point about soccer, you know, so it's almost like Apple is not trying to necessarily compete for the things that are already popular out there in the US. They're bringing things in to make them popular.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting strategy.
And this also gives Apple that existing relationship where if they want to go after international rights when they come up, well, if this succeeds, Apple's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. For all of our listeners and viewers outside the United States, I'm going to do international translation for you. Soccer equals football.
Football.
Yeah. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. And now we can say, hey, I'm watching Formula One on Apple TV, in Apple TV, on Apple TV.
Yeah.
And that's a correct statement.
Correct. Yeah. But to put kind of put this in perspective, the popularity of F1 in the US has always been kind of spotty. There have actually been times when the United States Grand Prix wasn't even on TV in the US.
Huh.
Well, Ben, look at, first of all, it has been until streaming came along, you know, it had to be relegated to a separate channel for the cable networks. The big primary networks, the broadcast networks, they only have so many hours a day, and they were going after things that were more popular here or had a wider audience. So I love this. I feel like this is yet another example of Apple playing a long game, and it's going to be interesting to have if we set our diary on our calendars for 2 or 3 years down the road to see how it's happened, because it feels like the same thing has happened with Major League Soccer, football, whatever. That, you know, it's not something that's going to pay off instantly, but it is going to pay off over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Coming up, talk about Apple TV becoming Apple TV. But before that, breaking news. We're going live to our reporter in the field, Dave, who has breaking news about AT&T and how they're going to hurt you. Dave.
They aren't going to hurt me. That's why I wanted to give the story real quick. They did announce, and I saw it, they've been raising the freaking price on my AT&T fiber $5 every year for the last 3 years, 2 years. So it went from $60 to $85. And I'm like, what the heck? So I reached out and said, I'm canceling. Okay, what can we do to keep you? What's the reason? Pricing. Because this is all in chat. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll reduce your bill down to $60 and we'll give you a $25 credit. Thank you. Then that's all you have to do. I mean, I couldn't believe it was that easy. Usually you have to, like with Comcast dealing with those idiots, and I'm so glad I don't deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
You had to jump through five hoops to finally get them to come up with a pricing. So the point of the story is, they are raising prices. All the carriers are doing this. We know it's going to happen. But if you, now that you complain more, they don't want to lose customers. And it looks like that to be that easy and that flexible was just, it kind of blew my mind. All the years I had to deal with it.
The thing to realize
$60 for 1 gigabyte of AT&T fiber. Come on. I mean, how could you beat that?
Yeah.
It's for 12 months, granted. Now, they'll probably raise the price again in a year. But I do the same thing with SiriusXM. I subscribe to that every year, and I say, I'm gonna cancel. Okay, we'll give you the deal again. Mm-hmm. They never want to lose a customer. So
yeah. The thing to know about most modern internet companies, well, not the cable companies, because they still think it's 1995, but Your fiber company knows that T-Mobile Internet exists, that Starlink exists, and you have other options. When they tried to jack up the price, not give me a deal on my internet, well, I just said, I'll just go back
Bye.
to T-Mobile. Give me one moment. And now my price, including taxes, is $55 a month. And I'm getting $350.
Yeah, which is more than sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, I take another lesson away from this, and that is that really when I see this kind of thing, and it's as easy as you say to get a knockdown, that and this is no different than the cable companies, and we've talked about this before. This is borderline fraud and theft, and those are two very strong words. But when okay, you know, if you go to the extra trouble of making one phone call and we'll drop it that much, then how many people are you basically ripping off by because they don't bother, they don't see it, they don't pay attention to
Exactly.
their bill? You know, I mean, what? I'm sorry, Congress, if you want to investigate something, investigate this. You know, is because because this is taking money out of the American people's pockets that really shouldn't be taken.
Chuck, you nailed it. I'm going to build on that a little bit. If
Please.
they're so willing to drop the price that much for Dave or whoever else calls, the message that sends me is that the price they dropped it to is a price where they're still making money because they're not going to give away what they do for a loss. Because they don't need to. So that tells me their price increase is just because they can, not because they need to.
And Jeff, I'll build on top of that. Don't forget that they're making money not just for me, but they're making money because I'm a subscriber and they have information about how I'm using the service, what I'm using it for, and if we're talking about cable, then you know they are able to figure out what I'm watching, and they are going to use that and sell that information. And
Oh, yes.
so you know, it's not just me as a subscriber handing them, let's just say $50. It's that I am probably worth, I don't know, I have no idea what I'm worth to them. But is it $20, you know, a year? Is it $50 a year for selling my information? So there are a lot of ways that, you know, that they're making money off of me as well as from me.
Yes. And Dave, did I cut you off?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, welcome to life in the United States with service contracts. I will add before we move on that I feel incredibly lucky that when I moved out of Boulder next door into Longmont, I was able to cancel my Comcast Xfinity internet contract, which was incredibly difficult to do. Not because of legal issues or anything else. They just made it hard. And switched to municipal broadband. And holy crap, City of Longmont has amazing gig fiber synchronous. Just right into the wall. And yeah, it's wonderful. And then ditching AT&T for Mint Mobile, it's like, well, I'm saving a ton of money every year, and I have not sacrificed any service quality.
No, T-Mobile has by far the best wireless network in the US.
It does. And AT&T was trying to entice me to switch because if I have their fiber, I said, no, I don't want to switch. I've been with them for 7 years. I'm not switching. And they've been, yeah, I might be paying a little extra money, but you know what? For me, it works out because I have seven family members on my family plan. I'm paying $40 a month for it. So why should I, what do I need to switch for?
You would be
It'd be more of a
foolish to
pain.
switch.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it'd be a pain in the butt to switch it over because then I got to coordinate with all my family and get it that switched over. Forget it. And then T-Mobile's been good to me. I mean, every time I reach out to them, they have decent customer service. I mean, in fact, I'm paying for, I have a $25 a month backup of with the 18 with the T-Mobile home internet, because I have it as a backup. So I get tired of the damn squirrels chewing into my fiber, and then I don't have internet for a day because of that. So then I have this as a fail safe, and it's not that terribly expensive to handle that. And their service here is good too. I mean, granted, I mean, I'm a kind of an area, and Jeff and Chuck, you've been in my house. I mean, their trees and everything kind of not giving me the greatest signal for this home internet, but I'm still getting 100, 150 gigabit speed for that, which is more than sufficient for a backup.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, as I teased earlier, we have news. It's not breaking news, but it's still news, and it ties in nicely with our first breaking news story. And this is the news that Apple TV Plus is now Apple TV. Originally, I was going to put this at the end, but since we were already talking about it, I figure we better move right into this story. And so when Apple announced that the F1 movie was coming to Apple TV Plus at the beginning of the press release, they included a line at the end, not even a call out, just a sentence in one of the closing paragraphs that Apple TV Plus is now Apple TV, and it's being rebranded so it's more vibrant. Because, vibrant. And later that day, we did get an update to the Apple TV app, and the logo on the app icon had already changed. The plus was gone, and there were like vibrant colors reflecting off of the Apple TV logo. So apparently, that's what they meant by vibrant. So now we have the Apple TV service. We have the Apple TV app, and we have the Apple TV hardware. So no confusion there.
But let's be perfectly honest. When people say they're going to watch Foundation, most of them aren't saying, "Well, I'm going to be watching it on Apple TV Plus on blah, blah, blah." Most people say, "Hey, it's on Apple."
So say Apple or Apple TV.
Yeah,
But most
right.
people don't see Apple TV Plus. Eddie Q did make a comment. Was it yesterday, Dave, or
Yes,
some?
it was. Yeah, I'll put the article here.
And and he said that part of the brand changes because everyone does just refer to it as Apple TV.
And we talked about this last night, and I've been thinking about it quite a bit. And the more I think about it, the less important I think the name change becomes.
Yeah,
And
right.
the less important the confusion that we all immediately jumped on, and me included, I think it fades away because I don't call you and tell you that I am watching a given show on what box am I watching it? Am I watching it through a Fire Stick? Am I watching it through an Apple TV? Am I watching it through oh shoot, I can't think, Chromecast, or any of those? Am I watching it through Comcast box that sits, well, not anymore, but used to sit on top of my TV? I mean that's no longer important. And unless you are unhappy with the experience, and then you're shopping around, and then you're going to start thinking, asking those questions. And when I, you know, when I look at my, when I'm watching a video on my iPad or iPhone, I'm not consciously thinking about, gee, would the experience be better off in the Apple app or in another app? And so, or what app am I using to watch this content? I don't know. I'm just watching the content. And so I just don't feel like that, yeah, there's definitely an argument that it's confusing, but I think the confusion is way, way overstated right now.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
there was a great comment in that article with Eddie Q, and I can read it real quick. It says this is incredibly optimistic of him from a branding perspective. It makes sense and makes but it makes it confusing for how people talk about things. No one calls their Apple TV 4K by that name. I also think it's being distinguishes to by the trying to say that the Apple TV app on a non-Apple device is the same as an Apple TV device on an Android device. It's literally that's just the Apple TV content that used to be called Apple TV Plus content. So, I mean, really, just to sum it up, he says that you can watch Apple TV content on the Apple TV app on your Apple TV. But you also can watch a lot of non-Apple TV content on the Apple TV, all on your Apple TV. So think of that. You wonder about hardware is going to be a bigger rename than the adding Pro or something else to the end. So he is, I guess he is being a little optimistic, Eddie Q, but I see kind of the point of it. I agree with you, too. I was thinking about it as well, that this is something that, it had to be done. Like on a branding perspective, everybody knows Apple TV, and the Plus was just kind of there, and it was confusing. I think.
Ben, you had something to add.
Sorry to break in your Ben.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, literally the removal of the Plus is not going to change in any way how you get to this content. It's not going to change the content that's there. This is just a slight marketing rebranding. And quite frankly, in the grand scheme of things, it basically means nothing.
Right.
Changed the color of the app icon.
Yeah. I came up with another hypothesis after In Touch with iOS last night. Because, of course, I'm weird and think about stuff like this as I'm going to bed. And here's the hypothesis I have with nothing to back it up. So rebranding Apple TV Plus to Apple TV as a service, Apple retains their trademark on Apple TV Plus as a service. They will now have a trademark on Apple TV as a service, which means they have the ability to legally protect their IP and branding for Apple TV as a service. And since everyone already calls it Apple TV, why not own it so you can control it? Otherwise, it could become something that they lose control of, like, even though Kleenex is a brand name, Kleenex has really kind of lost control of that. Aspirin definitely has been that control of that was lost long ago.
Yep, Tylenol.
And loss of control of Tylenol currently is a totally different discussion.
But I mean, any acetaminophen drug is generically called Tylenol.
Right. And
by the public.
Yes. Yeah.
Ibuprofen is Advil.
Right. Yeah. Velcro, which, yeah, you know, hook and loop closure.
Ziploc.
Ziploc.
There you go. And Apple doesn't want to be the next Ziploc. So anyhow, that's my hypothesis from going right before going to bed last night.
Jeff, that's an interesting point, and it seems so obvious, and it's something that I would not have thought about it from exactly that angle. And so, yeah, you know, absolutely. It seems like a small thing, but it's not a small thing.
Yeah.
Huh. Not when you're a multi-trillion-dollar company.
Yeah.
Well, we ended up talking about that a lot longer than I expected. So let's move on to something that's very near and dear to Chuck's heart, and that's Apple Vision Pro, one of his favorite hardware devices.
How did this happen?
There's an upgrade. We want you to buy.
Yeah.
You'll be ahead of all of us.
I don't have the first one, let alone the second one.
Well, see...
Dave can give you his through the magic of Zoom there.
Wait, I
Sitting
thought
right.
I was getting
He can't
Dave's old one
trade
because Chuck's
it
buying a new one.
in.
Oh well, that's all right. Easy come, easy go. So Apple clearly has Chuck in mind, and they've been targeting him personally because we got an announcement of new product refreshes this week, and we'll talk about as many as we can. I'll be surprised if we get through all three of them. M5 processor, so new processor for Vision Pro, iPad Pro, and 14-inch MacBook Pro. Those all came out announcements for this week with pre-orders available now and shipping and delivery starting October 22nd. So we're going to talk about Apple Vision Pro because clearly Chuck has been champing at the bit for one of these.
You know, Jeff, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I'm still looking for the way. I'm looking trying to figure out how it would integrate into my use case, not Dave's, not
No, I
Marty's,
understand.
none of the people that have them. And I confess I struggle with it. There are places and ways that they have described their uses that would be perfect. But you know, trying to do the cost benefit analysis. And that's what I did when I went to the M4 Max 16-inch MacBook Pro. You know, yes, it was a darn expensive piece of equipment, but I knew exactly how I was going to get the value out of it. And this one, and that is not a diss at all on the Apple Vision Pro. It just depends on what your use case is. So I think eventually this will happen, that it will cross over and it will become. For the dollar numbers, it'll become very reasonable to justify. Right now, I'm still struggling with that justification, and so I'm leaving the money in the bank.
It's fast. It's still an immature product. It's still heavy. It's still expensive. It's better than it was, definitely. But this is not a mainstream product yet. This is pretty much a fine, you're trying to find your use case with it product.
I agree. That's a big thing right now. And Apple made it clear when Vision Pro was initially released, that was what, beginning of 2024, that this was like a very early part of the product cycle. I mean, obviously because it was first release, but they knew that they were releasing something that was going to be very niche and would grow over time. So yeah, finding the use case for yourself, this seems to be a trend here, is I mean, that's a thing. And for me, outside of entertainment use, Vision Pro didn't have much of a real world use appeal for me. However, the new Vision Pro with an M5 processor, coupled with the Logitech Muse stylus that is available now. It was announced, what, back at WWDC, but it was released too. Now it becomes much more compelling because now a Vision Pro can be an art creation tool for me. So I need to have an opportunity to use a new Vision Pro and a Muse stylus with it so that I can see what sort of potential it has for me to create art. And then maybe it becomes something that I could justify getting now as opposed to waiting until later when it has even more functionality.
Yeah. I mean, for someone like Jeff, this has the potential to become a three-dimensional iPad.
Yes, and I have played with an Oculus Rift that had a three-dimensional art creation app for it, and this was several years ago, so it was horribly rudimentary. But it was still very compelling because it gave me a taste of where the technology can go. But yes, being able to have a three-dimensional art space where you're creating around you and you can actually move around the art and work on it from different sides, giving other people the ability to walk through your art, that's really cool.
And Jeff, I feel obligated to state what I think is the obvious. You just said it gives you a taste. And that, if you've done the Apple Vision Pro demos, and if you haven't, go to your local Apple store and do it, please. Regardless of what they show you or what, if they ask you what you want to see, go and do it because it gives you a taste of what the technology can do. And there are parts of it that just are incredibly compelling to me. Just because they're cool. There are other parts that are incredibly compelling because they would be productivity enhancing. It's just that they're not quite there yet. And for the price, I can't take the cool parts are just a little too expensive for my taste. And even when I put the two together, they're still a little bit too expensive. But if we're looking at the future, a version of the future, there's no question whether it's Apple's version or somebody else's version, this is where things are going. And it is impossible for me to describe to you just how real some of it is without going and seeing it. Where when you, and I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but when they take you up to a height in a scenic overlook, I mean, you feel like you can get a little vertigo kind of thing going because it is that realistic. And I am not overstating it because I've got other people here that are nodding their heads in agreement. So it is an amazing experience. I think this is going to morph into an amazing product, just like so many things. It's going to take time. So it's in the oven and it's baking. The cake's not ready just yet.
And we have a great analog for this product
The
life
Mac.
cycle, the Mac. But yes, the Mac, that's a really good example. The one I was thinking of, though, was iPhone. When the first iPhone came out, while it did get mainstream adoption faster than a Vision Pro, but it also had a more tangible use case for a wider audience initially. That was an alpha level product. It wasn't even beta yet. I'm surprised that it worked when they got those out into consumers' hands. Dave,
But
you're muted.
sorry. In the case of the first iPhone, it was expensive. I mean, even for the standards back then, you're talking almost 20 years ago. But a $600 phone was unheard of back then. They did take a chance, and that's what Apple does. I mean, they have these higher priced products because they think that people are going to be interested in them, and they know it's a quality product. And then look what happened with that too. And then let's to get me back on the Vision Pro thing here. I just put a link in our show notes for it was discovered that this has more than twice doubles the refresh rate of the Mac Virtual Display. Now and Marty just sent that to me, and I said, I hate you, Marty, because now you're going to really make me want to switch. But this is something that is huge. I mean, I don't think you guys have experienced using it as a virtual display with the Mac and the Vision Pro. It's pretty incredible. I mean, more it just blows your mind when I have a screen from here to here across my entire room. Yeah, it's kind of hard and to get used to navigating where you go, but it is pretty incredible. The only bad thing is you have to be like this to get to your keyboard because you don't have any options of being able to use a keyboard or a mouse other than using a keyboard or mouse. But for this to have this refresh rate, because it is at 120 hertz now, with the M5, that's pretty incredible.
You know,
And
sorry, Ben, go ahead.
with a virtual display that large, you're paying a pretty penny to get a physical display that large.
The one I have here
So,
now, I've
yeah.
paid I mean, I only paid $625 for it, but you could spend 12, you know, you look at the Apple displays, you can spend $5,000 on an Apple display if you really wanted to. And yeah, granted, you're getting some serious high-end, high-resolution monitor. That a lot of designers need that. But yeah, you're right. You're going to spend the money on monitors. Why can't you spend it on this? And then you have it to any machine you go to in the future.
Mm-hmm. Plus more.
Yep.
You know, Jeff, I was going to go back to your comments about the iPhone. I distinctly remember having conversations on Mac Voices about if the iPad turns out to be just a bigger iPhone, is that enough? And at the start, it was borderline, just a bigger iPhone mm-hmm. without the phone capability. And look how it's evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, the question was, or the answer was, yes, even if it's a bigger iPhone, I've got a bigger screen to work with. And so that would be enough. Would it have stayed enough over time? No, obviously not. Because we've developed portable displays and all kind of things. So, but at the time, yeah. And I feel like that's sort of where the Vision Pro is now. Is this enough? Yeah, for a lot of people, it is. Scratch that. Maybe not a lot of people. For many people, it is. Mm-hmm. Because it still hasn't found, you know, the mainstream market. But it's coming. I fully believe that. I don't know if it's coming, you know, by the end of this year, by the end of next year, but it's coming.
End of the decade.
Yeah. Here's my hypothesis on this. Dave, I know you love it when I throw out hypotheses.
I do.
Hypothesize. Anyhow, I think the M5 Vision Pro is the one that Apple wanted to release last year, but they really felt pressured to get their headset out last year. So they made compromises to get something built and out the door on the deadline that they had, and then continued to work on the device that they had wished they'd been able to release first. And because if you look at the specs on the M5 Vision Pro, it just makes sense, and it makes more sense than the first gen model. And so, anyhow, that's where my hypothesis comes from. This was supposed to be the original version. They just couldn't hit it on their time scale. So with that, hey, you know, I said there's other products Apple announced, the new iPad with M5, the 14-inch MacBook Pro with M5, and we don't have time to talk about those. So
yeah, the M5 is really, really fast. The products are pretty much the same as they were, but even faster. So if you need them, go buy them.
Right. And if anyone is feeling especially generous and wants to buy me an M5 13-inch iPad Pro, you know where to find me. Anyhow.
And I'll take one too.
As long as you're handing them out. Yeah. So Chuck, when you go pick up your M5 Vision Pro, grab a couple iPad Pros for us too.
No problem. No problem.
Awesome.
With the black Magic Keyboard.
Yeah.
The chances of this happening are about the same as me actually buying the Vision Pro.
I can't wait.
Are you saying there's a chance?
Yeah. And hey, we're sponsored by Awe Technologies. And or at least we were up until today. Who knows? they may be like, you know,
who are these wankers?
Yeah, we may have to back out of this. And then Ben can say, so there's still a chance you'll stay. Awe Technologies is awesome because, first, they're incredibly generous. They're helping us out. They're making sure we have the hosting space, the bandwidth, all the stuff we need to bring quality content like this to you every single week. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So thank you, Awe Technologies, for that. If you don't know what Awe Technologies is, well, it's a company that does all of the monitoring for you on whatever your production site is. That could be like one of their specialties is railroad. So you need your environmental monitoring, you need your video monitoring, all of that stuff. They're the company that takes care of it, and they do a fantastic job. And so if you want to learn more about them, go to their website, awetechnologies.co.uk, and that's AWE. That's how you spell awe in this case. AWE technologies.co.uk. Thank you, Awe Technologies, for being our sponsor. You rock. Also, speaking of rocking, Patrice rocks because she does such a great job of explaining the live chat to everyone, but she's not here. So I'm going to explain a live chat that it isn't actually live as we record. But that's okay. It'll be live again next week. But here's the deal. When we're live, you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com and you can participate with us in real time because you're watching the live stream video. And there's also a live chat there. That's where you can talk to us. That's where we put all the links that that we're capturing today, and we'll make sure that you have access to. So it's super easy to do. Just live.britishtechnetwork.com. Go there. Now, if you're doing like everyone's doing for this show this week, and you're watching or listening to the recordings after the fact, you can still get to all the links. You go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There's a calendar there. Look at that calendar and click today's date. And today is Friday, October 17th, 2025. And when you do that, then you'll see the archive of that live chat. Now, the show will be posted most likely today on the 17th, but it might be a day or two before the chat is actually there because we have to manually add it in. So it may take us a day or two to get that synced up, but it'll be there. And you'll be able to see the links to all the articles we've discussed, plus the cool things that are about to happen. And so we should hop into those. And I see that. Oh, Dave, I'm calling this out so people know that there's a link to this to go check it out. I mentioned the Logitech Muse Stylus. You dropped a link into the chat that's a video showing it in use.
Yep.
So cool. Thank you for doing that. And you have the first cool thing. So hit us up. What is it?
Look at this. This is a very small device. This is the new Audio Engine HXL portable balanced headphone amplifier and hi-fi DAC. This is amazing. And you guys, Chuck, you got me hooked on Audio Engine. I have my H5 Plus speakers here. Love them to death. This thing is a game changer. I had the D1, which is still sitting on my desk. I'm about to probably tear it down, so I don't need it anymore. I have this thing here. This acts as a DAC. It's got both a USB-C connector as well as a 3.5 and 4.4 inch plug connector to put on it. So my H5 Plus speakers plug in here nicely. Has a volume control right on the edge here as well. And how could you not complain about how the size of this thing is? It doesn't take up anything space at all on your desk, and it allows you to be able to have this high fidelity music. You can also use this with your iPhone and your iPad with a headphone because it's got the USB-C, and because you don't have that with the D1, you have to convert it, and you probably lose sound quality. But for $169, this thing is a unbelievable product, and I highly recommend it. And check it out. I really love it. And I think Jeff might have bought
Not yet,
it.
but since you're doing the DAC thing, we're going to do a super fast DAC discussion. Okay, so I have so this is the Audio Engine, the old, what is this one? The D3 is what they call this.
Okay.
So this is their old portable one, and it has just the 3.5 millimeter jack on it. So yours is superior on multiple levels. The levels that are going to matter for everyone are that you don't need to add extra power to get that to work, and you have two headphone jacks, so different size headphone jacks, and And this one, I mean, it's a really good little DAC, but there's the USB A style connector on it. This one draws too much power. So if you're using this, I can't use this one with, say, like an iPad or an iPhone, because I'd have to plug it into a powered dock. If you plug it into your Mac, it's just fine, or a powered dock. And then alternately, this is the portable DAC that I carry around all the time, which is great. This is the iFi Hip DAC, and I mean it's really good, but it has a battery built in. That's why it's so big, and but it does have the both headphone jack sizes. This is bigger, it's heavier, and when the battery dies, then you have to recharge it before you can use it again. So, unless you need the extra controls that come with one like this, Dave, would you have the
Simple volume control right there, up,
yeah,
down.
volume controls right there. Oh, by the way, when you are playing music through a DAC like this, if you have a volume control like you do, the knob is the one on this. That's the volume control you use, not the one that's built into the device, because you have that there's a lot of reasons for it, but you have much better control over your audio when you use the correct volume. So use the one on the device.
Well, Audio Engine changed that. This is just an indirect volume control. You now can control the volume on your Mac when you have this plugged in. So you go up to
Yes,
your
and that's the
sound.
way it's supposed to be. Yep.
Yeah, but the D1 isn't that way. You can only
Correct.
control it from the
Yep,
volume control.
there's no volume control buttons on this. So
Right.
anyhow, there you go. The
Yeah.
HXL is an excellent upgrade from the D3.
It is. It really is.
And yeah.
Got the link in
So
the
of
show notes.
course now you can see why I want to get one, Dave.
This is why I got to talk to him even more.
Yeah.
And you can buy
Yeah.
it on Amazon, same price.
Nice, which means you'll get it even faster. Okay, so let's see. Then, cool thing. Oh, Chuck, you're up next. Oh, wait, but you say you have a different one. Okay.
Yeah,
So,
Ben's next. Ben was
okay, so
next.
Ben is next.
So, my guilty pleasure of the Halloween season is the second season of Wednesday. Yeah. This is really the 21st century adaptations of the Addams Family. The acting is great, the storylines are is great, and the second season's even better than the first. I mean, there's humor, there's horror. It just makes you want to do this.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, cute.
It was a fun season. I did
Yeah.
enjoy it. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
and
And I'm looking for a lot more of Fred Armisen as Fester in the future.
he's a very good fester. To bring this back around to our earlier Apple TV discussion, this is the place where it matters what service you're using, because you don't get to see everything just by having one service. So Netflix is where you find Wednesday. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So now Chuck.
TikTok.
Sorry. I had it loaded up. I forgot to hit the button. So Dave inspired me to pick this because I've owned this for a while. And Dave, if you don't have this, this is the next thing you need to spend money on. This is the Audio Engine S6 compact powered mini subwoofer. I have it right over, oops, yeah, right over there,
You put the
but you
wrong
can't
link,
see
by the
it.
way.
Yeah, I put the what?
Wrong link.
I put the wrong link. Oh man.
Yeah.
You
Okay.
put the surge protector again.
Yeah, surge protector.
Oh man. Okay. I will give you the link in a minute for the show notes. But anyway, I love the audio engines. I've got the white ones on the stocks that you see behind me, but and they were wonderful and I love them. And I decided to upgrade the system just a little bit and get this sub. And oh my God, it just adds that bottom end. You can tweak it. The audio engine stuff is just great because it makes so much sense to integrate with, between the two units. And I can't stress enough just how much of a difference it's made because I put this system together strictly for my office. It ends up being where I listen to more music than anywhere else in the house. And so I wanted it to be really good. And yes, it's a fair amount of money to invest for a desktop system, but you could put this in a small apartment. I honestly think I could take it to my living room and it would be just fine, but I'm not moving it from here. So if you're in the market, first of all, look at the Dave's pick and then add this to the shopping cart when you're ordering because you just can't go wrong. Audio engine stuff is amazing.
Chuck, I just threw the S6 link from the Audio Engine website, not from Amazon,
Okay. Thank
for
you.
you.
Okay, there's Amazon for you too.
Yeah,
Okay.
Chuck, I bought the S6 on your recommendation, and I have the A5 Plus speakers. So, I remember asking you at one point, did it really make that much of a difference in the audio quality for you? And you practically jumped out of your chair going, "Oh, yes." And so I bought the same one. Now, I'm using a different DAC. I'm using the Shit Modi Plus, I think it's the Modi Plus for my DAC. And which is really nice. What I discovered with this subwoofer, because it's front firing, not down firing, you need to have this one closer to your audio level for your other speakers, like physically, to get the quality out of it that you should. I tried putting it on like a little stand under my desk initially. Because I've got that whole setup at my desk and it was fine, but it wasn't great. And then I moved it up on top of a file cabinet next to my desk later, and holy forking shirt balls. The difference in the audio quality when you get that subwoofer up closer to your other speakers level, huge difference.
Okay, so thanks, Jeff. Now I've got to rearrange my office because I have not done that experiment because I was so happy with it the way it was. So now I've got to play with that.
It's
But
it will completely change the audio profile for you when you get that subwoofer up higher.
oh my God, how can it be better? But
Right?
bottom line is it is something that you really want to check out.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, we've been doing a great job of spending everyone's money today. Since everyone already has a subscription to Apple TV, I'm not spending you money today, but I might be taking up more of your time. I just recently started watching The Studio on Apple TV.
Oh my God, I love that
Oh
show.
my God. I'm only two episodes in,
It's so funny.
and it is absolutely delicious. And I believe by the time the series is done, I will need therapy for the level of stress that I experience watching this.
Yes.
Wow. It is fantastic. And the cameos from actual celebrities, it's great. The premise, for those of you that don't know what this is, it's a movie studio in Hollywood, and Seth Rogen plays a guy who gets promoted to the studio head, and everything is just like chaos. And so his boss is played by Bryan Cranston. And I mean, Seth Rogen and Bryan Cranston playing off of each other is just a masterclass in brilliance. And Catherine Hahn from WandaVision and Agatha All Along, she's in it. She is absolutely wonderful.
Fabulous.
Yeah, just down the line, all the people. Martin Scorsese is in an episode playing Martin Scorsese. I mean, so that's the caliber of people you have in this show. It is a comedy. I would say in many ways, it's a very stressful and dark comedy. But yeah, it is absolutely brilliant. And like I said, I've had a chance to watch only two episodes. I am going to burn through season one, and I believe season two is out. Is that correct? Or is it coming out? I can't
No, it's
remember.
coming out.
It's coming out. Okay, I'm looking forward to season two, and I'm only two episodes into season one. That's how much I'm enjoying the show. So that's The Studio on Apple TV.
Yeah, this is from
Good
what I
choice.
understand, this is Severance level good.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, it's a completely different tone, completely different vibe. But oh my God, it is. There's a reason why it won an Emmy this year, and absolutely deserved it. Okay, so with that, it is now time to wrap up so we can all go and watch The Studio on Apple TV, in Apple TV, on Apple TV, and kick off our weekend that way. So, Ben, where can people find you?
On Apple TV.
Yes, that's true.
You can also find me at Ben Rethig on your social media of choice, RethigTech.com for my writings and ravings. And of course, the TV shows of these two gentlemen, In Touch with iOS and Mac Voices Live.
Awesome. Chuck, how do you feel being promoted from a podcast to a TV show?
I like it. It's just too bad it didn't come with a raise. But it's
You
maybe
get
next
an
time.
extra zero, Chuck.
Thank you, Ben. That's
Right at the
about right.
beginning.
Yes. Right at the beginning, end, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
MacVoices.com, that's where you find everything that Ben was talking about. And on socials, you'll find me as at Chuck Joyner. And as we record this is Friday. On Saturday, there's something special coming.
You've
Could
been
be a Vision
teasing
Pro.
something special is coming on. No, it's not.
It could be, you don't know.
I know.
And
But
I
it
could
could
be
be, but no.
Batman.
Yeah. So the special thing happens on Saturday, October 18th.
If everything goes to schedule, yes.
Oh, so we're waiting for your Apple Vision Pro to be delivered. How does it feel to know that you bought the M2 model right before the M5 is shipping?
I'll tell you next week. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
Return policy.
Right. Yeah. All right. Hey, Dave, your turn. Where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on Vision Profiles podcast on Monday nights with Marty and Eric. Love doing that show. Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live. Been there since I think the beginning, if I'm correct. And I'm also on, we record our show on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on In Touch with iOS. And I'm here on Fridays and social media, Dave G65 on Blue Sky and Mastodon.
Awesome. And I'm loving how your new office setup is coming together.
Yeah, thanks. I'm worried about my angle a little bit on the camera, but I think it's okay.
No, I mean, it works. It's like an action shot angle. Yeah, it
Move
works.
back.
All right.
I was showing there. Yeah, it's centering back now because I was showing off my speaker.
Yeah. So, all right. When I'm not admiring Dave's office, you can find me on social media as Jay Gamut, and I'm active mostly on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed right now. And yes, you can go see all my Inktober drawings. I'm going to keep talking about that because it's so much fun, and everyone can do Inktober. Even if you say, "Oh, I don't know how to draw." Doesn't matter. You do. You just haven't done it as long as some other people. That's all. But Inktober's a lot of fun. So go see all the drawings there. Okay. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and Patrice Brendamore, who is out, and you can clearly tell things run so much smoother when she is here. She's out this week. Anyhow, Patrice and I do Retro Rewatch. Love the mug. Hey, on a total side note, and I'm pretty sure no one watching or listening to the show will hear this in time, but there's a pen show in Denver that starts later today. So Friday afternoon, Friday, October 17th in the afternoon. I'm going to go to the pen show, and I will have Retro Rewatch and Context Machine stickers with me. So if anyone sees me and they want a sticker, I will have some. I should just carry them with me all the time. Actually, I think I do. Anyhow, so find me at the pen show. I want to talk pens with people. Okay, so with that, holy crap, the three of you did a wonderful job of entertaining me today. And thank you for doing your job so well. You rock. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. And I'm so glad we're able to get through all of our breaking news, and look at us just being like bleeding edge with the current topics. Yeah, bleeding mostly because I accidentally stabbed my finger earlier, but whatever. Anyhow, thank you, because you're all awesome. Also, everyone that's part of the show as well, all of you that watch and listen when we're live, all of you that are watching and listening to the recordings, thank you for all of you. So glad that you are part of this and joined in as well. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Aw Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, okay, everyone, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.